knowledge fight.
Dan and Jordan, I am sweating.
KnowledgeFight.com.
It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan. Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Andy in Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, worship at the altar of Selene, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today, buddy?
My bright spot today is I got to talk about this.
Okay.
All right.
Let's do it.
The buttons are not all sent. They're coming. It's a process. I am buried. I have been buried under these fucking buttons. Everybody is like, oh, isn't it going to be so funny once Dan regrets making this decision? I still don't regret it, but holy shit. I think that I have been, even interpersonally, a little bit in denial.
Yeah.
Because I think that I've told you that it's about the same as last time.
Yeah.
No, it's worse.
It's a lot worse.
Way worse.
Oh, boy.
Way worse.
Oh, Dan.
It's crazy.
You have definitely misled me.
Because I think that it looked fairly similar to last time.
Yeah.
And then I realized that there were about double the number in the spam folder.
Oh, no.
So I think that might have been part of why I gave you that perception.
Oh, no.
Because then that hit me like a ton of bricks. And then I have seen a couple people post that empty envelopes have shown up. And I don't know the extent to which this is the case. Very sorry if it is. But I did buy envelopes that say high quality on it.
Yeah.
But the high is spelled H-I-T-H. So this might be an envelope quality issue. They're Hith quality.
Hith is a difficult quality to have.
Yeah. So that's tough times.
I wonder if is that a way to get away with the truth in advertising thing? No. We didn't say they were high quality.
They're quality.
I don't know why you got the impression that they were high quality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tried to deal with some of the issues that I ran into last time.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I fucking did. I have put extra postage on a number of them. I measured them and I double checked with the people at the shipping center.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, this is totally fine. This is the amount you're supposed to have.
It's supposed to go. Yeah.
So if your place is asking you for extra postage, I don't know what to tell you. Anyway, I don't regret anything. I'm still happy to do this.
Yes.
And I'm sorry that it's taking a while. They're coming.
I
a bunch have gone out, and there's a bunch still coming.
I sometimes, very rarely, but sometimes, I do lament us just doing the two of us everything, you know? Because this is the type of situation where other people would be able to help.
That's true.
But that's not what we do.
But I think it also ultimately defeats the purpose of what
exactly.
This is. This is not totally just about getting someone a
no.
button. There's
no.
there's a gift process and a experience that I hope people get when it arrives. And
I assume
and
a certain
stuff, so.
Flagellative penance that you're paying for whatever crimes you committed in the past life.
Yeah, that might be.
Yeah.
What's your bright spot?
My bright spot is, we spoke about it at length. I'm sure I've bothered you already with it too much, but Fanny, my beautiful dog, she had an abscess on her face.
You described it as a clump.
Yeah, it was
Eddie Murphy on her face.
Pussy is the word that you never like to use.
Mm-hmm.
Filled with pus and then covered in pus. And that happened. And then
I'm just trying to think of Eddie Murphy puns.
Because
of the clumps.
You've got another 24 hours to figure it out.
Hercules.
she's better. And my bright spot is my wife's mom and her vet. The two of them together are incredible, and I could not be more grateful for both of them in my life. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart.
Well, that's great.
And I know, I don't know the vet listens to the show, but I know Devin's mom does. So.
And then it'll be passed along, probably.
I hope so.
The big ups.
Yes, absolutely.
Getting passed along to this vet.
Yes, absolutely.
So, Jordan, today we have a sneaky, snakey-ish episode.
Ooh.
We're doing this on Wednesday, putting the cat on the back burner for now.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about January 25th, 2025.
25, 25.
25, 26 plus 25, 51.
52.
5 plus 1 is 6.
Ah.
666.
All right.
Here we are.
There we go.
So this is Saturday. Okay. Alex did not have to do this show.
Didn't have to do it.
Completely unnecessary.
Voluntary.
And that means it's going to be good.
Yep. That's better than usual.
So we'll check in on this here in a second. But first, let's say hello to some new wonks.
Ooh, that's a great idea.
So first, help my parents went to a Jimmy Dore stand-up show, and I don't know to tell them he's a hack. Thank you so much. You're an out-policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
That could use some punctuation.
Yeah.
Next, been listening for ages now and thought I should go full tilt boogie on this podcast, Wallace. Thank you so much. You're an out-policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And Rob L. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And we got a technical credit in the mix, Jordan. So thank you so much to buy a winter coat, Dan. Please, Dan, buy a coat. Thank you so much. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone, sodomite, sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom. Jar Jar Binks has a Caribbean black accent.
He's a loser little titty baby.
I don't want to hate black people. I renounce Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
You know what? It didn't even occur to me to buy you a coat. I should have bought you a coat.
Well, a little update on that. I have not bought a coat.
I was thinking about
but
that.
My mom did get me a Land's End kind of light coat.
Okay, for the winter.
To, you know, get layer up.
Layer
you
up,
know, that
yeah.
kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I don't have a winter coat still, but I've been doing fine, even with the, like, pretty cold days that we've had. We've had a few pretty cold, but it's been a little bit mild. It's not been too terrible this year.
For a Chicago winter, it's been fairly mild.
And
yeah.
I have definitely thought about, like, oh, I got to get this coat. People keep telling me to get a coat, and it's what people do. It's a normal thing to do.
100%.
But I kind of feel like that episode of Seinfeld where they're, like, on empty. They're driving the car on empty.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just exhilarating. It's like, it's February. I still haven't gotten a coat.
Who knows what might happen now?
Yeah. So I got to see how close we can get to that E before.
I was thinking about it, and then I remembered that I haven't bought myself a coat in probably 5 years, and then my wife bought my last coat.
Oh.
And
because
so,
if you still needed a coat, we could go get coats together.
We could.
But
we
now
could.
You have one.
I mean, I guess we could still. We probably still could.
Yeah. I want to see if I can make it.
I think you could. I think you can.
Make it the whole winter.
We'll see what happens next year.
Very excited.
Like the Cubs.
So we start off here, and Alex has some exciting updates about Trump's first days in office.
Gotcha.
The other massive news, and I ferreted this out and confirmed that this was reported yesterday morning, so more have been found, but Tom Homan has located, because the Democrats actually knew where they shipped a bunch of them. They don't want people to know. Now they're investigating what's happening, and you know it's going to be bad. Between 75,000 and 80,000 of the 325,000 missing children have been located where they are. Now there's investigations to find the rest and then also investigate the details, but they found them. They know where they are, the first 20% or so. So just lightning speed on that. And of course, you know, it leads right up to the human trafficking, sex slavery, slave labor. It's already been confirmed. And they're going to prosecute and criminally go after the deep state for that.
So this is the second stage of Alex and the right-wing media's manufactured hysteria about missing children, and it should be no surprise that Tom Homan has been so successful on this front so fast. These children were not missing to begin with. They just hadn't been contacted. This was a fundamental distortion and lie about children who arrived unaccompanied to the United States, and the proportion of such children who didn't show up for court dates on their immigration status. Between 2019 and 2023, approximately 32,000 children didn't show up for court dates. But that same report that revealed that found that 291,000 hadn't been contacted at all. They hadn't been contacted because there's no reason for the court to contact them unless their hearings were scheduled, so it just hadn't happened. folks like Alex, who love to pretend to care about serious issues and achieve the illusion that they do by lying about them, attach themselves to this 300,000 number as a way to attack Biden. These children weren't all missing, but it was a pretty useful propaganda tool, and you heard the same bullshit being echoed by Trump and Vance on the campaign trail. But now Trump is in office, and they need to solve this problem. Luckily, these kids aren't actually missing, so it's super easy for Homeland to contact the people they haven't contacted and then magically remove those numbers from the imaginary missing people list. Honestly, he doesn't even have to do that. This talking point is based on a fantasy, so Alex can just imagine that less children are missing now and then report that to the audience. That's the entire game.
Yeah.
When you pretend that your enemy is doing something comically evil that isn't really happening, it's super easy to solve that problem when you get in charge by stopping pretending it's happening. Like, I'll do one. Under Biden, 95% of government employees were actively possessed by demons.
That sounds true.
But now that Trump's gotten into office, that number is down to 60.
I'm really relieved by that.
And it's amazing how quickly he's working on this problem.
35%? A reduction of over a third in just one night.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's absurd.
But that's the kind of results you get when you actually try.
I mean, the magic of not existing is really helping here.
Yep. Makes problems very easy to solve.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially considering in this scenario, there's never been anything that would decrease the chances of me returning a contact quite so much as if I was undocumented and Trump is contacting me.
Mm.
Yeah, I've disappeared. Surprise, I've been kidnapped by me.
Yeah, I think the actual numbers of people who are uncontactable might go up.
Yeah, yeah.
But we'll see.
Surprise.
So another thing that Trump fans really wanted him to do
when
he got into office, release those Epstein files, baby.
Sure, hell yeah.
You know, that's
I'm down with
want.
That.
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't see very many people, except for very specific people, having much of a problem with
really,
that.
Really, really specific people. Very specific people.
Yeah.
Individuals.
And Trump has not done that yet.
Huh.
But there is, he will. He will.
I think it's important, and I've known this for 3 days, and I just am so busy that I should have broken this exclusive, and it still is an exclusive. And it's very important, but I have talked to some high-level people in the Trump operation, and obviously my questions were, when are you going to release the Epstein list, and when are you going to release the 9/11 secret files? And
I'll take those two.
They said, well, that's very interesting. We've not really talked about 9/11 files, but Trump is open to release everything. We'll bring that up. But on the Epstein situation, and of course, what I was told is just obvious. But once they said it, they're like, we want to get Kash Patel in because he's who Trump trusts and who we trust to actually really release it instead of the FBI director previous to this, Ray, who had it, sitting on it and using it for blackmail purposes. So Trump has said he will release it, and they said, and he is going to release it. And that's another reason they're fighting so hard to block Kash Patel's confirmation. He's probably the most important of them all because he is a patriot. He is definitely an American. He's definitely drank our Kool-Aid of 1776. And, you know, everything's a cult in the world, folks. You know, I mean, everything's the group you're in. And you know, America has been the most successful.
Hold on.
And so we have the leftist, devil-worshipping, pedophile, New World Order, satanic cult. And then we've got the George Washington cult.
Okay. I don't know if that's true.
Okay.
So if you break down what Alex is saying, he's telling the audience that Trump will release the government's files on Jeffrey Epstein, but only once he has an indoctrinated member of his cult in charge of the FBI. It's totally cool, though, because everything is a cult, so it's all just one cult or another. This is dumb, and I reject the entire premise of Alex's argument, but also, anyone who might take this Epstein stuff seriously, they should never accept this kind of reasoning. It feels like the only reason that you would wait until you get a loyalist cult member in power before you release some kind of secret intel is because you want to exert control over its release. If the ultimate goal is to just literally release everything, then it doesn't matter who does it. But if you need to be selective, you might need a hand-picked cult member in there to do it. this should really set off alarm bells. And the fact that Alex feels like he can get away with something like this on his show speaks to how poorly he's trained the audience to engage in critical thinking as it relates to what he says. It's pretty brazen at this point, and I think it shows a pretty serious lack of respect for the audience that you can be like, oh yeah, he'll put this out, but only when someone he controls is in control.
Yeah, that is very strange. That's very, in the context of what happened when Scientology infiltrated the government and did the whole thing and deleted all those records and stuff, like, that makes sense because they were trying to do it on the low key. They weren't like, hey, everybody, we're going to get elected and then we're going to remove all the records of all the crimes we've committed.
But everything's a cult, so it's fine.
That's a weird admission to make. You're supposed to be against the cult part.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
We've been saying it's not a cult. Fuck it, you're in a cult. What are you going to do now? Too late, you're in a cult.
This has so much to do with the, like, just hiding the ball kind of nature of how Alex's coverage works. Pretending all these principles mean something and tricking people who are attracted to those principles into supporting your conditional worldview that it really is kind of just about supporting businesses and racism.
Yeah, I think it's rude to tell people that to admit that they've been put into a cult.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, listen, you've already got them in your cult. They're already in the cult. They're drinking the Kool-Aid. Why you got to also tell them that? That's just rude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you want to get to the top story of the day?
Sure.
Because we have Tom Homan has found a bunch of kidnapped children, and Trump is going to release the Epstein files once he has a guy he controls.
Once he's got the cult
in position.
Yeah.
But those aren't the top stories. Those are big stories.
Okay.
They're not the top.
Okay.
Here's the top.
All right.
Now I'm going to get to our top story, and that's what I'll first drill into, and then I'll move to these others I just mentioned. It is important to understand why I am so enthusiastic about Elon Musk, not because I'm explaining myself, but because you need to understand this. And you need to understand that he is under massive attack, second only to Trump, because he is strategically, if I had his money and his power and his wide spectrum brain, where he has just an expert on so many things, I mean, a true maverick genius. I mean, you can't deny it. Let me look at it. They keep saying, oh, it's a fluke. He did the best at this, and a fluke at that, and a fluke at this, and a fluke at this, and a fluke. Oh, yeah, come on. There's 100 flukes. Just shut up. But the reason
I'm sorry?
I am so supportive of Musk and is explained to you, you need to be, is because everything he does is exactly what I would do. And I am the leading expert on the globalist New World Order system.
So the top story of the day is that you need to understand and respect that Alex likes Elon Musk because he projects his feelings on him, and he pretends they're the same person.
You are in my cult, thus now I give you, by the transitive property of cults, to Elon Musk's cult.
Mm-hmm.
And I need you to know that I'm doing that to you. Otherwise, you'll get real mad at me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need you to understand that I'm not kissing this billionaire's ass because he's a billionaire and he's doing a lot of stuff that I like. And I think that maybe I can get some power by association and proximity. I'm doing it because I feel like he's me.
Yeah. 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 It's definitely not that I love money and hate you. It's that never mind. I'm done. You're already in the cult.
That's the top story?
Yep.
You didn't have to do this show.
It's all about me, and even the guy who it's about is actually about me.
On my day off, I'm coming in to do a show about how...
Hold on, my daughter's calling me. Click!
Can't do it. I'm in a war. Can't talk to my daughter. Can't play cards with my family because I need to be defensive about liking Elon Musk.
It's what's got to be done.
Wow. Mm. So the globalists, they want to put up spaceships.
No, their infrastructure's gone. They've been neutralized.
Trump has it or doesn't. A couple hands on the sword.
Ah, shit.
Couple of fingers
on the sword.
We don't know where it is.
That's still the worst metaphor I've heard.
There's no update on the hand status.
Right.
But the globalists, they want to put spaceships above our cities.
Okay.
All right? And then keep us in check so no one can create things.
Like in that movie we watched?
It's in like a number of movies.
Musk is categorically assaulting every pillar of that parasitic death cult, post-industrial depopulation grid. That's its goal. That's its plan. Because if you get rid of almost all the people and go back to like a dark ages and the general public lives, who's left on little farms with no electricity, and you have these compact government, elite, corporate city-states that have super advanced technology, and then there's literally giant hovering, you know, robot ships with high-tech weapons that keep anybody, you know, that gets out of line in line, and then you have a global government, then no one can ever emerge, no one can ever develop technology as a rival that could threaten your monopoly. So it's the ultimate monopoly. And when you heard that, you go, that's the Hunger Games. Well, before they wrote those books and before it was movies, I was describing it like that because that's how they describe it. And remember, you've seen Zardoz, right? If you haven't, you should go see it right now. I mean, after the show. With Sean
Have Kong. You seen Zardoz?
And then I can tell you 20 other movies where they describe exactly what they're doing. Elysium's another version of it.
I knew it.
Moonraker. I mean, and that was written by the deputy head of MI6.
Oh, my God.
And OSS. So what you see in those movies and books is actually in their policy and philosophy papers that we've covered.
So if you hear someone saying shit like this on the street, you would rightly consider them to be unwell. If a friend was saying stuff like this to you, you should be concerned and you might want to try and get them help. Because Alex is rich and has pretended to be a news guy for 30 years, for some reason his staff just nods along as he says this insane, stupid shit. Also, Ian Fleming didn't write Moonraker. Mm-mm. He wrote a Bond novel called Moonraker in 1955, mm-hmm. but it has almost nothing in common with the movie that ended up getting made with that name.
Because Star Wars hadn't been made yet.
Right.
Yeah.
Ironically, Elon Musk could easily be the villain of the book version of Moonraker.
That sounds true.
Hugo Drax.
Why not?
He's a super rich dude who builds rockets and works with the British government, but is secretly a Nazi who plans to use those rockets to attack London.
That's a little too much.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, all movies are real and who gives a shit?
Yeah, okay. So for the longest time, you and I, we've been living in this world where if somebody starts doing things like this, we mm-hmm. go, "Oh, you should get help. We should talk about this. We can bring you back to a place where you're maybe more comfortable." Why didn't we monetize those people? What were we thinking? We could get affiliate links on their foreheads so they could tell people the movies are real, and then whenever they got tapped, we'd get 3 cents. It makes perfect sense.
I think probably because a lot of them are probably too erratic.
Mm.
And Alex probably has had his parents like keeping him in line right. for most of his life.
Right, because of daddy.
Yeah.
It's daddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that the insanity that Alex manifests really doesn't work without a dad somewhere.
Oh, God.
Because otherwise, he would have self-destructed so many times over if he didn't have some kind of guardrails in there.
Specifically his daddy who could...
Yeah, Dr. Jones.
Yep.
And his naturals.
Yep.
So, I guess, I don't know. I was thinking about just, like, trying to find some other movies we could weave in
here. Sure, why not?
But, like, who cares?
Yeah, there's too many.
The Happening?
Sure.
That was predictive programming.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Why can't like Vicky Cristina Barcelona be predictive programming?
It was.
You know? Oh, shit. Is Javier Bardem going to fuck me?
Chocolat. That was predictive programming. Juliette Binoche in Chocolat.
See, these are the movies. Why are we making sci-fi movies when we could predict better things?
Yeah, like chocolate.
Like chocolate.
I don't remember what happens in that movie.
Funniest pull for it. That's why it's the funniest pull, because I could not tell you word one what happens in Chocolat.
It's something romantic. And then Juliette Binoche is in it.
Yeah.
And I think Johnny Depp.
Probably.
I think so.
Were there spaceships above? Like, is that the subtext to Chocolat? Is that the whole time you don't know it, but there's a spaceship directly above the city there?
I know that there are med beds in Amelie.
That makes sense.
So, Alex is a big fan of Trump. He's a big fan of Musk.
Yep.
And, of course, of AfD, the extreme far-right nationalist party in Germany.
Yeah, you know them.
Alex says something about the AfD in this next clip that I found shocking.
Mm.
So... He goes to the big conference of AfD, the Alternative Deutschland Party, that is a Trumpist party. It's not even as hardcore as Trump. So when you I mean, if Trump was a liquor, you know, freedom was a liquor, Trump's like a 150 proof.
All right. Thank God that's what the word liquor AMD's was. Like 100 proof. Fuck me.
And Elon Musk is now 190 proof. And then I am pure grain alcohol at 200 proof. I mean, that's how I would describe the scale. And I'm just full on attacking the enemy. But I'm on a lower scale than Trump and effectiveness and Musk. So it's less of an effect.
Yeah, so it's like a little tiny shot of high. Look, what is a Trumpist party?
I think that he's trying to point to a grand unified field theory of Nazi-dom.
Yes.
You know, where it's like, hey, sure, there are, I mean, ironically, we have regional differences. However, because we all agree that being fascist is dope, let's take over the world together?
Yeah. And I think, I wonder if there is a way, I can't quite figure out the way to make this liquor-proof thing, like, actually match up to what Alex is trying to describe.
Right.
Because you'd have to find some sort of scale where Alex is 200.
Yeah.
Elon Musk is 199. Trump is 150.
Right.
I think he said the AFD is 100.
I guess.
Or something. I don't, maybe effectiveness in pushing media.
I mean, I guess just if you mainline Alex, you're going to die.
True.
If you mainline Elon, you're going to die. Trump, I guess you can survive.
Special occasions?
Yeah, absolutely. And the AFD in moderation. Mm.
I don't know how to make it work. But
no.
I don't think it made any sense when it came out of his mouth either.
Nope.
So Alex has recorded a little video earlier in the day that was supposed to be a motivational speech.
Okay.
But he ended up talking about how the globalists need to give up.
Well, that'll happen.
And so his daughter and whoever was along with him on this hike when he decided to make a video.
No.
They were like, hey, that's not very motivational.
It's demotivational.
Yeah. And so Alex discusses how that's not true. And then he talks about running into a door.
Fair enough.
I shot a little 10-minute thing when I was hiking today with my daughter, my buddy Sean Johnson, and we posted some of it on X today. And I haven't released the motivational video yet. And after they said, well, it was a good speech, but it wasn't motivational at all. They said, you were telling the globalists to give up, and now they're totally defeated. But yeah, but I said, your ideology will kill you too. It is evil. So just know we're ready for most of their minions who haven't committed really serious crimes to just join us. And you just got to stop hating society and life and God. And that's why you're on the left-hand path, why you want to hurt people. And Sean said, well, yeah, they're never going to change. Well, some of them are. So one man's negativity is another man's positivity.
Is that right?
By the way, everybody's asked me what this bump is, and I don't know what it is. I never put makeup on. I put a little bit on for the TV show. Like, I'll have to make it on like once a year when I cut myself. Like that time I turned around in Steven Crowder's office and had me on the surveillance camera, and they had wooden paneling and cut my nose. It was bleeding everywhere, and I still went back on air. I put makeup on for about a week for that. Same thing about 5 days ago. I'm walking around. I get up to pee at like 3 a.m. and get a glass of water. And I was so sleepy. I was really, you know, usually I wake up when I get up, but I just did. And all of a sudden I walked into a door that was open in the dark to the bathroom and hit it. But it didn't have a cut. It didn't have anything. And then over the next 4 days, it just grew up and got bigger and bigger. And then today, while I was hiking, it just broke open and I had blood coming out. So I think I might go to a clinic after this because it's, I think I got an infection.
Don't.
So I don't think I know. So there you go. That's your big conspiracy there.
What?
Yeah, I run into things, folks. Sorry. I move around too quick sometimes. I'm kind of a spaz. So back to Elon Musk.
Yeah, sure.
Why? What?
Back to Elon Musk.
What?
I had this big old thing on my head because I ran into a door.
Fucking
like,
hell.
I don't want to like put this too extremely.
Sure.
But it's not a small thing on his forehead.
It can't be.
It's
exploded.
Notable.
Yeah.
It's kind of a glaring knot on his forehead.
Yeah.
I don't think that's just like a you walk into a door thing.
You think it's a scary stories to tell in the dark? There's a spider laid eggs inside of his forehead?
No, I think
they're going to pop out?
No, I think he ran head first into a door.
Yeah, that one would make more sense.
Like, I think, I don't know. I think there has to be a little more force than just walking into something. Because if it's not tiny and then it grows over the course of days.
Sure.
I think he had a bit of more of a boo-boo than he's saying.
It would not surprise me. I would find it if I... Well, how about this? If I know myself to be in full-on communication with God via late-night timekeeping...
Yeah.
I would also ask for late-night not running into a door connections with God.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
It really dropped the ball here. But
that seems like a pretty important God connection to have. It's yeah. Like, I like looking over and knowing what time it is, but I also like having a face.
If Alex is so unaware of his surroundings and shit when he wakes up in the middle of the night as to cause this kind of wound to himself,
yeah.
I don't know if I trust his memory of all those times that he's pretended to tell the time in the middle of the night. Like, I don't think any of this can, like, coexist.
If I didn't trust it before, I definitely don't trust it now after the head injury.
Yeah. Anyway, so this is the root of the theory that maybe right. he's been concussed.
Maybe he's been
for a couple days.
Yeah, that would make sense. Yeah.
So Alex talks a little bit about the EU.
Sure.
And how they're all royals.
The EU.
Yeah, yeah. All of them are royals.
Okay.
The Marshall Plan, OECD, Organization of Economic Cooperative Development, that was the big Rothschild U.S. British Empire banks that then merged with what was left of the European aristocracy banks. That's why the EU Commission heads are always, if you look them up, royalty. Herman von Rompuy, van der Leyden, I mean, look them up. They're formerly royal, no longer. You know, just a few decades ago, they were wearing crowns. I mean, von Rompuy was the head for 20 years, and he's the king of Luxembourg. I mean, he just goes on
France.
From there. It was family, Saxe-Coburg-Gotha, the whole European monarchy that took over the British monarchy with King George the First 300 years ago. Just all interesting to have the background.
So we talked about Herman von Rompuy on our last episode and how he was given the title of Count in Belgium after his career in politics had ended in 2015. But he doesn't come from a noble family history. Alex brought him up as being the King of Luxembourg yep. here because he's mixed up people. He's thinking of Jean-Claude Juncker, who is also not the King of Luxembourg, but his family is from there.
Sure.
He isn't a royal, though. Like, Juncker's family, his dad was a steel worker until the Nazis invaded Luxembourg and forced him into military service.
Sure.
So basically, Alex doesn't know the difference between the European Council and the European Commission. Mm-hmm. And in his confusion, he's taken the fact that Herman von Rompuy was given an honorary title after his time in politics mm-hmm. and expanded that out to pretend that everyone in the EU are descended from royalty and that Jean-Claude Juncker is the King of Luxembourg,
mm-hmm.
which Alex thinks is part of France. It is all interesting to have this kind of background, though. He definitely has a lot of knowledge on these subjects.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? It confuses me because generally, when people are talking about royals in this regard, they're never picking on the ones that seem very obvious to me.
Mm.
There are plenty of places that still have kings. Let's not even worry about other royals until no kings, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't tell the king of Thailand to go fuck himself. They'll kill you for it, right? That's not good. I don't care about the Luxembourg royalty. Let's deal with that guy.
I do think that there is more of a danger from functioning monarchies than from ceremonial...
fictional?
Vestigial monarchies.
Yeah.
That is true. But I guess I think that Alex just he likes, you know, all of this stuff is just fun, though, because, you know, the Saxe-Coburg-Gothas, it goes back to Dracula, Vlad the Impaler.
Yeah, it's a lot more fun.
Yeah, there's so much more to do about that. You can't really do that with actual monarchies.
Yeah, it can't just be like there was a guy a few thousand years ago and then stuff happened. And anyways, they're still a king.
Mm-hmm.
That's not as much fun.
Nah. So, you know, the EU. As you called it, the EU.
You.
You know, it was Hitler's idea. Hitler was going to do that.
But isn't his AFD? Never mind. You know what? Fine.
Hitler had a plan to set up a European Union, have the first 10 countries, or the first 10 they had. He was going to put Edward VIII, the King of England, who had to advocate because he was German and lived in Germany for part of World War II and fled to Spain. And they just said, oh, he advocated because, you know, he married an American woman who was also a big Nazi. No, it was because he was a Nazi. And I'm not even saying the EU is Nazi. I'm just explaining the history. So the EU was a Hitler plan They were going to put Edward VIII on the throne. The deep state, globalists, British intel, fooled him, put him in, set them all up. They even set up the king, flip-flopped on them last minute. That's why Neville Chamberlain stood down and let the Nazis do whatever they were doing, because he'd been told to do that by the elites. And then they set him up and removed him, and then they brought in Churchill, and the rest is history. And this is all in PhD-level history books and things.
I'm sorry?
Really talk to the general public. You can look at everything I'm saying.
I'm sorry. Hold on.
Elon Musk. Oh, it has everything. Listen to me carefully. And I'm just giving you the quick cheat notes here. This is fascinating stuff. I've read hundreds of books on this.
It's definitely some kind of cheat notes version of history.
I'm going to ask you this question.
Yeah.
Right. And I actually don't know if we've ever really discussed it in the way that he might think of it before.
Mm-hmm.
Does he realize that anybody can get a PhD?
Well, yeah.
So it is open to the general public.
That is true. Yeah. And a lot of, courses, their syllabuses, their syllabi, you might be able to find online, and you have access to those
like
books
if you
want.
They don't hide, quote-unquote, PhD-level stuff.
Yes, they do.
Like, they don't have a secret library where only, like, oh, no. This is our secret PhD-level stuff.
No, don't
library.
You remember when Alex was talking about being a child and being led into this secret Hogwarts section of the UT Austin
That's
library?
That's not how it works.
No, of course it is.
There's no goddamn Narnia.
You know what I think? I have memories that I think that Alex might have too.
Okay.
He's talked about going to like the UT Austin library.
Okay.
And I spent some of my childhood times in college libraries.
Sure.
There are some sections with rare books.
Yeah.
That are like blocked off.
Yeah.
That you have to get help from a librarian to get to.
Because you have to wear gloves.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's what he's talking about.
Okay.
I think he's imagining like, these educations are like there's
right.
there's spells in those
right,
books.
Right. No, when we were in Ireland, we went and saw the Book of Kells and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like you can't just wander around the library. Some of those books are very old.
Yeah, like some of them are like if you touch them, your oils on your hand
they'll
might
disintegrate.
Destroy the,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
it's not secret knowledge.
But I think that as a kid, you could see a caged off area
yeah,
of the library
I guess you could.
And be like. What's it that's forbidden in there?
Yeah,
or
and
something.
Then the next day you're under a building and you get gassed and forever it's just
and
awkward.
Then you have a dad who's just solving all your problems for you as
yep.
you grow
yep.
up and yell
yep.
a bunch.
Yep.
Yep.
Well, there you go.
So Alex is an expert on the EU.
Okay.
That's one.
Yes, that's mm-hmm. yep.
Herman von Rumpy, same person as Jean-Claude Juncker.
Yep.
And all of it's the same.
Luxembourg is in France.
He's an expert.
The EU didn't officially till the late 1990s. And a lot of countries never voted to enter it, but they would just bureaucratically be signed on to it. And the EU Commission is unelected. But people were upset about that. So they said, we'll give you an EU Parliament, but it is only ceremonial and advisory. That they don't say ceremonial, they call it advisory. But when you're advisory, you're ceremonial. When it's government. And so people have known this. They fought this. I've been covering it 30 years on air since it even started officially. And now the EU Commission came out a few weeks ago and said, yeah, we canceled the Romanian election. We don't like it. They're anti-war. They're anti-EU. So they just threw the intelligence services and all that did that. Then the Supreme Court certified it. And then now they came out 2 weeks ago and said, and by the way, if AfD wins in Germany, we're just going to nullify the election. So it's open dictatorship now.
So the EU Parliament is not ceremonial. And all you need to understand is how hard Alex pushed for Nigel Farage and other UKIP members to get elected to it. That should tell you all you need to know about like whether he thinks it's ceremonial or
yeah,
not.
Yeah.
It seems to matter who's in Parliament like during that season of content. So this sucks to have to constantly point out, but Alex fundamentally has no understanding of how the EU structure works. There's an EU Parliament, which is elected directly by the public. Each member country has a certain number of MEPs based on their portion of the EU population that is made up of their country by their country, with some provisions built in to make sure it's not just the larger states dictating every decision. The other legislative body in the EU is the Council of the European Union. This is a group that's made up of 27 representatives, one from each member state. These people are representatives of the state's individual governments, which makes them indirectly elected, in that if you elect new leadership in your country, they have the ability to appoint a new member to this Council of the EU. So these two bodies exist mostly to give a thumbs up or down to laws that have been presented by the European Commission. This body has the ability to initiate actions, whereas the other two bodies act based on the European Commission's moves. This commission is made up of the College of Commissioners, who are appointed fairly undemocratically, to be fair. They're selected by the Council of the EU and are accountable to Parliament, who can dismiss all of them if they want to.
Sure.
Parliament can just say, this College of Commissioners is
sure.
need new people.
Sure.
So now here's where things get confusing. There's an executive group called the European Commission and the two legislative bodies called Parliament and the Council of the European Union. But there's another entity that's called the European Council,
Ooh.
Which is comprised of elected leaders, the elected leaders of each member state.
Right.
This group has a similar name to the Council of the EU, but it's completely different and it's mostly responsible just for setting the general direction of the EU.
Sure.
And solving problems between countries, negotiations, diplomatic stuff.
Sure. Fine.
Within this structure, you have a fairly robust and complicated system of direct and pseudo-direct representation, where the parliament is directly elected by the people in various EU countries, and the European Council is made up of the elected leaders of each state. Each state's elected government can send their representatives to the Council of the European Union, who then select the members of the European Commission. The European Commission fills the role of proposing legislation and policy, which is then debated by the Parliament and the Council. And then off to the side, the European Council exists as a diplomatic body containing the leaders of each state. It's complicated, and some of the names are too close to each other, but it's not nearly as unaccountable as Alex tries to make it out to be. I don't really have any faith that he understands how any of this organizational stuff works, given that he thinks that Herman Van Rompuy is the king of Luxembourg.
Yeah.
Also, the EU didn't throw out the Romanian elections. The Romanian courts did. They'd already, at this point, right now, when we're recording and when Alex is recording, they'd already rescheduled to redo the election on May 4th.
Sure.
And the president has stepped down. He'd intended to stay in office until the new election, but there were some concerns that that would be against the Constitution for him to do that, since he would be exceeding his term limit.
Fair point.
The whole situation is a mess, and there's a good chance that Calin Georgescu still wins in the May 4th election.
Sure.
But based on the information that's been provided, I don't see any reason to believe that the nullification of the initial election results was part of some kind of grand EU plot. And they haven't said they're going to throw out the election if AfD wins in Germany. There's been some talk of trying to ban them as a political party because their existence is somewhat anti-democratic in nature.
Sure.
And it's against the Constitution, according to some people in Germany. But that's not a position that has much traction. And I don't think that most people who are in leadership positions would do that because it has such a potential to just blow back.
Yeah, like, no.
It would backfire very seriously, probably.
If there's anything that I've learned in my lifetime, it's that banning things works.
Mm-hmm.
And it definitely does not create a situation where you increase demand, create an interest where there otherwise wouldn't be. Any number of possible things that there are happen.
I'm not saying that you should never ban things, but
sure.
In this case, there's like a tactical kind of consideration that is exactly what they would want you to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it seems like a more dangerous situation.
Yeah. Yeah. The smart thing to do is not ban it, but make it harder because most people are going to be lazier and they'll just naturally kind of be like, it's too much work.
So anyway, Alex is an expert on the EU and he's demonstrated it.
Yeah.
So there's some other news other than that Elon Musk is cool.
Okay, there's Elon Musk is cool, ew, it's gross, and then...
Ew is ew,
yep.
Musk is cool,
yep.
And also Bill Gates, he's been busted.
Ooh!
Gates has been caught giving billions of dollars to these dark money groups, to not just give $50 million, it was a lot more than that, to Harris a few months ago. They're giving money to go after RFK Jr. with fake news and fake signatures of fake doctors. And then Congress is talking about it. It's on CNN. Oh, up to 17,000 medical doctors signed a petition that RFK Jr. is a danger to your health and a quack. And then I went on there yesterday and signed up as Dr. Alex Jones and said everybody else. That's what it is. It's fake. And you look at who funds it right there. and I'll get to the group. It's Bill Gates's group.
So Alex is reporting on this thing where Bill Gates is he's touting fake signatures of folks who are, you know, they're alleged to be doctors.
Sure.
Which is part of an attack on RFK Jr.
Okay.
Leaving aside if any of this story is accurate or not, I would like to remind you of the Great Barrington Declaration. This was a big press release put out by a bunch of scientists who were saying that herd immunity was the best way to get through COVID. They opposed shutdowns of any businesses or schools and all manner of mitigation practices. They were like, no way. There were a lot of dipshits in Alex's world who were opposed to all this stuff, like, you know, shutting down schools. But they were pretty fringe idiots at the beginning, whereas this Great Barrington Declaration had the appearance of mainstream science being behind it. The declaration was paid for by the Koch-affiliated libertarian think tank, the American Institute for Economic Research, and it claimed to have been signed off on by tens of thousands of scientists and people in the medical field.
So many scientists.
These folks included people like Dr. Johnny Bananas and people who graduated from such prestigious schools as the University of Your Mum.
Ooh.
So this was a flawed declaration funded by politically motivated groups of billionaires propped up by fake names of imaginary experts. This would be exactly the same thing as what Alex is saying that Bill Gates is doing now, except Alex loves the Great Barrington Declaration. He cites it repeatedly in his books, and it's strange, these different standards.
Dr. Johnny Bananas did deliver his daughter.
That's true.
Yeah.
Alex is talking about a petition to oppose RFK's nomination that was put out by a group called the Committee to Protect Healthcare, which Bill Gates doesn't run, nor is he on the board of directors. They do have an open petition that you can just fill out, so it could be exploited. But in the highlighted text on the form, it says, quote, submissions are reviewed before being added to the official count. The progress bar on the top of this screen does not represent the official count.
Okay.
So the fundamental difference between this and the Great Barrington Declaration thing is that the Alex's folks, they've all they've shown is that you can submit fake names to this petition. With the Barrington one, they accepted those names and reposted them, which there's no indication that the anti-RFK petition has done. It's like trying to report that someone fell for your trick by pointing out how you tried to pull a trick. There's no payoff to this. There's no reveal. It's just that you pressed enter with a fake name.
Aha.
Not that they believe you to be a doctor.
Right. But if you hadn't have pushed open the door, and if instead you had just walked forward, then you would have been hit by water.
Mm-hmm.
You see, but when you opened the door, then the water fell. It appears as though I did not trick you. But you could have been tricked.
But the Great Barrington people definitely were.
Well, we hit them with a lot of water.
Yeah.
It was like in the Harlem Globetrotters whenever they throw the, yeah.
I just think that there's not much here.
Not really.
No.
No.
The Committee to Protect Healthcare has received funding from the 1630 Fund, which is a subsidiary of Arabella Advisors, which you might call a Democrat dark money entity. I'm not into that, and I'm not interested in it, but it doesn't really prove any of Alex's underlying claims.
No.
You know, like, I'm not into dark money necessarily on either side, so fuck all that noise.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really help what Alex is putting forth.
I think I'm glad everybody's happy with what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's great. I think they should really be spending all of that money on a petition as opposed to, you know, food, I guess.
Yeah. So you, another thing you could spend money on,
yeah,
is Alex's products.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe Elon Musk's products.
Ooh.
I mean, he is just exposing the international pedophile rings, the Islamic pedophile rings, the mass crime waves, replacement migration, big corrupt corporations that are getting government slush funds and stealing the money and not innovating. On and on and on, and trying to take down the unelected EU commission that is at the heart of the global government program. I mean, it's a damn wrecking ball. So go share everything on his feed every day, because it can always reach more people. And get Starlink. I've got it. It's great.
What?
I mean, just because this guy's put a ring on the line. And I'll go back to me, because I've done 47 minutes and haven't plugged. When I tell you something, it's 100% true according to what I believe. Sometimes I'm off on things, but I don't lie on purpose, okay? And I have a very good track record. You know, Alex Jones was right. It is a thing for a reason. Tomorrow's news today. But when I tell you the products are incredible at the alexjonesstore.com.
He means it. Alex is, he lies constantly. But yeah, it's another level to just, you know, be like, hey, buy Elon's stuff. Help Elon.
Is that like revealing that that's the only way he can really process affection is through commerce, but even in his own very specific way?
Maybe.
Because the only way I can feel that you love me is if you buy CMOS. So you should shower that love on Elon by buying a Starlink.
Maybe. But yeah. I think that there's something more along the lines of Alex, the sales have not improved.
Sure.
But he's getting a fucking giant number of views that he's looking at on Twitter.
Yeah.
And that is giving him his validation.
Yeah.
And he needs to do everything in his power to make sure that Musk doesn't crush him.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you take away those giant numbers, all you've got is not an increased number of sales.
You know, and it is like, I think genuinely, Alex is in a better position than he thinks.
Yeah.
But because he's such an embarrassing toady,
yeah,
he's talking himself into a far worse position than you could imagine.
Unless there's something that's hanging over his head that we really don't fully understand, like it's not some public thing.
Yeah.
Like, unless he has reason to know, like, he's about to get smooshed.
Yeah.
Like, he's in such a good position to, like, if he would just be the 90s version of himself.
Totally.
Like, the world is chaos. Shit is bad. People are going to be hurting.
Yep.
There is a vacuum he could fill of righteous indignation.
Mm-hmm.
He can't because he's got to kiss up to these racist idiots.
I just mean in negotiating with Elon, you know.
Oh, like, that too.
You have a podcast.
That's the other direction.
Podcast getting $100 million deals or whatever. Like, they're just wasting shit tons of money. If Alex was like, oh, I could take my hundreds of millions of views elsewhere, he could get something better from Elon.
No,
you know?
Because I'm sure Elon can see the back end of it and see how, like, kind of unorganic and
sure,
unimportant Alex's traffic is.
Elon could see that, but he's an idiot.
Yeah. I don't think he needs to give Alex any money.
I agree.
I think that there's a pivot Alex could make towards something else.
Sure.
Or he could hustle Elon. But yeah, the path that he's choosing to go down is being obsequious. And
yeah,
trying to, like, ingratiate himself by being like, I'm your biggest fan. I get people to buy Starlink.
Yeah.
Don't get rid of me, please.
Yeah, it's so weird. It's so weird because he cannot get rich again. He can never get super rich again. You know what I mean? Like, he can be wealthy forever,
mm-hmm,
but he can never be a guy who's like, look at my bank account, because by saying, look at my bank account, he's going to lose that, you know? That
yes,
kind of thing.
Yeah. And I think that he's going to also be in a position where the value of his career up to, let's say, I don't know, the mid-2010s,
yeah,
is this, I built this shit. I am my own man.
Totally.
You know, like, fuck you. I got a bullhorn.
Yeah.
Like, that is probably worth more than being super rich.
Would be to me.
And now that's not really, like, available for him either.
Mm.
And I think that, you know, like, sure.
Yeah, but people love a comeback story to their own detriment forever.
Right.
Yeah.
But he can't legally own any businesses that he runs.
He's a pirate now. You know what I'm saying? Like, he doesn't legally. Now
no,
he downsizes away from all that stuff and he
right,
pirates it.
Right.
He keeps his goals modest. He becomes the righteous voice of indignation. He could pull it off. People would be well, he couldn't pull it off, but it's there to be pulled off.
The nature of the early version of Alex, where it's like, I started from grassroots and built this myself and all that, he legally can't do that.
Yeah.
He can't have his own companies.
Yep.
Because of his actions.
Right. Idiot.
So, you know, why not just promote Elon?
Or maybe, so many reasons.
Maybe Tucker. Maybe Tucker is something Alex could plug.
Gross.
When I say it's your opportunity to support us and get great products and be part of something really important, I mean, that's really true. I mean, the whole office is using Tucker Carlson's nicotine pouches, which they are super high quality. I use them compared to all the competition. They're right up there of the best ones I've used.
Is that a perk?
I had to tell the whole crew. They all are using it because he's not a commie. You know, turns out the main company out there are Zen or whatever it's called. So I don't have to be pushed to support people that are supporting me.
Isn't this a family show? Why are you supporting nicotine patches? Isn't that strange? Also, why are Zen commies?
I feel like we just got fucking Lucky Strike as the brand Americans trust right there. I think that's just what happened to us. We just got jingoistically sold nicotine products in 2025.
Yep.
Wow, this world, man.
Everything old is new.
Wow.
Yep.
Let's bring those commercials back.
This is sad.
Yep.
Anyway, Alex goes off on a little bit of a rant here about how he gives Trump orders.
Sure.
Like, he writes reports and he gives the targeting for, like, Trump and Musk.
Right.
Like, they're the warships and whatever, but he's, like, he's the radar.
Right.
And he makes some metaphors.
Okay.
And then I'm just down here running around going, enemy's doing this, enemy's doing that. And then you're literally the communication system to make sure it gets out. I can also get on the phone and get some stuff done, but it's nothing like them going to Trump, sir, this is 100 million views, and Jones is saying this. Interesting. Bring people in on that. Let's check. Anyway. Remember, sir, Bill Gates already gave money to Kamala. He's been caught behind the scenes trying to sabotage your nominees. That son of a bitch. And then Trump goes up, and like Godzilla, fires his, you know, energy beam out, and just, you see the whole city in the door. And I'm just like, because I love it. So I'm like a little special ops guy crawling around in the enemy rubble and like popping up, seeing what I'm like a little Imperial probe droid here, but you know, they're the Imperials, you know what I mean? I'm just like reporting back to the main base. What's the name of the stupid things in Star Wars? I always use Star Wars, everybody knows them. Star Destroyers. So that's just me, just buzzing around watching the enemy. And then I just want to report back to Godzilla so he can blow the living shit out of them.
Cool. Healthy.
But it's kind of like the military when they lays the target, you know, the people lays the target and call in where it's at. I mean, that's what we're doing. That's what you do when you go get the report on Gates. It's got it all in a nice little 15-minute intel package with all the documents and all the proof. And you just go, here's your report. And I've written many reports to Trump himself. And he would say, give me a report on it. Very impressive report. And then.
What?
The law firm I'd been using on something else goes, oh, we hear you're doing reports. We'd like to help you. Oh, here, we'd like you to talk to this person that heads a federal agency. And it wasn't the CIA or FBI, but it was an agency you wouldn't think is an intel agency, but it's really the intel agency.
Agriculture.
Like Voice of America was really the CIA. Well, it's like Voice of America, but another is involved in the same kind of thing, but bigger. We'd like you to talk to the head of this.
They're growing lies.
The president. You know, we want to help you write these reports to the president. And the next, would you like to meet with the richest person in the world at the time? And they'd like to help you, but they want to work and make sure you put out accurate stuff. And I was like, oh my God. Wow. So I could roll over and sell out and have them all drop their lawsuits. They've already said that. And be flying around in private jets. That's not even a temptation. In fact, it's like, would you like to eat some rotting maggots in dead flesh? No, thank you. I love being the maverick, the rebel, the patriot, the good guy. Because my cells, my guts, my soul loves it.
I don't want to eat rotten flesh. You should buy my dehydrated beef. So it's fun how much contact Alex has had in the past with Trump and how it varies wildly depending on his mood. When he's depressed and down in the dumps, they only talked a few times. It's crazy that the globalists think that he's Trump's brain. But when he's feeling a little bit manic, like today, Alex is basically a government agent working off the books to give Trump targets. Neither of these things are probably accurate, but they tell you a lot about Alex's headspace, and it seems safe to assume that the head trauma makes him feel important. Also, the Star Destroyers and Imperial Probe Droids were the bad guys in Star Wars.
Yeah.
Godzilla's a more ethically complicated character, but that's mostly in the later films where he needs to save us from other monsters.
Sure.
In the first one, he's just a punishment for us using nukes.
Yeah, man versus nature. Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think anyone ever sees Godzilla destroy a town and think, like, hurrah. Like, when he fights, like, Mechagodzilla or,
sure,
you know, then maybe then maybe you're excited for it.
Yeah.
But not when a town gets destroyed.
It is funny how American it got whenever it's like, well, listen, we can't just have this guy be a response to us destroying the world. That's our fault. Mm. I know what it is. He's fighting robots from the sky. Well, done.
Even the first,
nailed it.
Even the first one was re-edited-ish, you know, like for the American release.
Yeah.
That makes it less about...
you don't want to make them feel bad.
You know, the wrath of nuclear testing.
Oh, the idea that the Earth would have some sort of response to your destroying it. How dare you?
Mm-hmm.
We're America,
but
God
damn it. Mothra. Now, Mothra.
All right.
We know
all I know is that oh shit, now I can't remember.
Jet Jaguar?
No. Who's friend of children?
Rodan?
No. Ghidorah. Gamera. Gamera's friend
maybe.
Of children.
King Ghidorah is not.
Gamera is a turtle that flies whenever it goes inside of its shell, and then all four of its openings
is a friend to children.
Turn into jets, and it spins through the air like that and is a friend to children.
See, I thought maybe it would be Mothra because there's those two children that sing Mothra song.
Right. No, little different.
Anyway, shit's not good for Alex money-wise.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And so he complains about his terrible conversion rate here.
Notice how those of us that love Team Humanity have all this energy and just because we're good, just like you. But you think everything, because that's where you've been, I understand it, is like spectating and just watching it. No. You're a participant when you share the articles, when you share the videos, when you speak out, when you buy products. That's how you do it. All right, I'm going to stop. I just can't believe how simple this is. This is like 50 million people. It's a low number. Individual different people watching every day. And we're selling, you know, 1,000 orders a day. Just give me 2,000 or 3,000 orders a day and I'll change the world, man. Just give me the ball, coach. Have you not already
not
seen
your ball.
Devastated living shit owned out of these people? Else. And we fucked them up. I have zero fear of them putting me in prison or killing me. They could do it or try. I'm not even worried about that. I'm just worried about losing. What are you doing to beat them?
Buying my products? I don't know. Like, if you have 50 million people watching your show and you get 1,000 orders, that is a turnover rate that is approaching zero.
Yeah.
That is almost...
It's flying towards zero with Mach 3 speeds.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is a terrible...
That is not good.
Terrible number.
That is not good.
And it also... I think... Honestly, the conversion rate is probably higher because I think that it's less people watching than he thinks. I think that is definitely overinflated.
Right.
At least you better hope it is.
Right. Because
otherwise, there is no demand for these products. No one wants this shit.
There is no demand for these products.
Well, I think there's about 1,000 people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're selling trash because the only people who will work with you are trash people. It makes sense.
Yeah. So... I think that there's a dynamic where I can't stress this enough. Most of the show is being defensive about Elon Musk.
It makes sense.
So he comes in on his Saturday to do this and, you know, be like, Musk is cool. Everyone is. Why are the racists still kind of mad at me that I like Elon Musk? Why do people think I'm a sellout? Because I support a billionaire unelected bureaucrat running the government.
Yeah. That one.
And just this like. No one's buying shit. Why? Is it because I'm being a little baby on air and having these breakdowns?
Could be.
Maybe. But people who say so suck.
That's a good point.
Alex gets kind of mad in this next clip about how no one wants to watch him bang.
You like having their thumb on you? You want to live in a totalitarian country that literally wants to cut your son's penis off and your daughter's breast off? Are you tired of putting up with their fucking bullshit? Get fucking real here, people. These are goddamn psycho death cult. Fuck them. Fuck them. Fuck them.
Sure.
What the fuck? Let's go. Hey, I should be happy. We're reaching tons of people. That's all. Then I'm just like, it's like a video game and you're winning at the last level and you're down to a half life. And you're just like, I should have already gotten more lives at this level. And God's like, nope, you don't. And the fact we've survived a whole bunch of their takeovers just barely just makes it that much sweeter and dearer to save it. But it's all God's plan. I just don't even, I don't know how 99.9% of the audience, it's bigger than that, just goes, yeah, I'll tune back in when he's not begging.
That one got to you,
I'm
huh?
A gun that's blowing your enemies up politically in the info war. I'm a weapon.
A begging weapon.
I'm like a dagger that you're defending yourself with, and you're just like, oh, the dagger's acting to be sharpened. Oh, the dagger got broke. The dagger wants to be fixed. And I'm just like, I'm your dagger. I'm your gun. I'm saying, give me ammo. Give me ammo. Give me ammo. Look, I blew up a whole bunch of the bad guys. I'm really good at it. Give me ammo. Give me ammo. No.
No. No.
You have correctly sussed out why nobody wants a talking gun. Yeah. Well done, sir.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Nobody wants that.
Whiny-ass weak gun.
Come on, give me some ammo. No!
You know how less cool a gun is if it's begging for ammo?
Come on, give me a bullet.
One of the things that makes a gun appealing is that it's a strong, silent
so
type.
So quiet.
Yeah.
Taciturn.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It almost is like, I don't care if you put bullets in me.
I don't need to exist.
Yeah. Guns also still dangerous without bullets. You could hit
somebody
with that.
Totally. I've seen people throw them in movies. Predictive programming.
And guns, that makes them confident.
Yeah.
Alex, not so confident. I think I'm reluctant to make rules about life.
Sure.
Lest I turn into Jordan Peterson.
That'll
with
happen.
His rules.
Yeah.
For living. But I think if you're ever in a position where you're complaining about how people don't want to watch you beg,
yeah,
then I think that you have answered your own question.
Sure.
And I think that you need to recognize that you gotta chop it up after that. You got to do something. Because the reason that people aren't giving you money is because you make a shitty product.
Yep.
And you're making a shitty product because you're doing this.
Yep.
And then you're getting mad at people not liking the shitty product and tuning out,
yep,
and saying, we'll check back in when he's done,
yep,
being a mope. Like, just the problem is just do better.
Take the note.
Yeah.
Stop being a mope.
You know. If you make a bad show, people don't want to watch it.
It's just so, sometimes, you know, there's a lot of details. Sometimes there's a lot of variables. Sometimes things are so very, very complex. But sometimes if you just do a bad job, people go, you did a bad job. I don't want that.
Yeah.
Ah.
You're killing time. And I'm like, you don't even have to do this show today.
You
could have taken all of the time that you spent on air and tried for the next day.
Planned a better show for tomorrow.
Right.
Yep.
Instead, you're coming on here and kicking your little feet around, talking about how, man, no one wants to watch me because I whine all the time because I'm a gun.
Yep.
Fuck off.
Yeah, that is about as much of like an adult version of a child tantrum, you know, like, give me more allowance.
Yeah.
No. Well, here's why. Yeah, it's just pathetic.
Or like somebody who's trying to break into stand-up and most of their jokes are about how they're too good that no one books them.
Yeah.
It's like, well, maybe if you told a joke, someone would book you.
These are the jokes.
Are they?
Have I said that before?
So, Alex, he's doing a lot of plugging, right? Mm-hmm. He's got something new he's plugging.
Okay.
Please remember, it's not just realalexjones.com that's a clone of the alexjonesstore.com, but when you go to realalexjones.com and get all the great supplements, all the great Patriot gear, all the incredible things, big sale going right now that ends on Monday, that supports the Alex Jones network that we've got to have as a backup, and then if InfoWars survives, we'll just roll into it. There's a new bigger studio that's almost done and a lot more, so we can have guests and all the rest of it. But we can be shut down as early as next month. I'll do an update at the end with some latest information here today as well, but support the Alex Jones Network by going and getting great products at realalexjones.com. It's like the X account, but it's a URL, great shopping cart.
So that's quite an arrangement Alex has been able to work out for himself. So I'm supposed to believe that the Alex Jones store is a completely separate company that has nothing to do with Alex.
Yep.
And they've been so gracious as to let him clone their website and put it at a different URL that somehow gets money to a different place.
Sounds
sending
suspicious.
That money to the Alex Jones network, which is owned by Alex's employee, Chase Geyser.
Sure.
This is a weird business move if you're the Alex Jones store.
Mm-hmm.
If this site is just a clone of the Alex Jones store, then you're really just buying the same products from the same people who are shipping it to you all the same. But somehow this new URL moves money around differently.
Yeah.
if you were the totally real person who runs Alex Jones' store, who definitely isn't Alex, I really think that this, if Alex were doing this, is something you could sue him for. Like this.
I understand why he doesn't. I understand why they don't. I understand all of this. But while in Alex's mind, right, he is faking this whole thing.
Yeah.
And all of these things are actually owned by him.
Yes.
The reason that he can get away with faking all of this stuff is because in legal terms, he doesn't actually own it. So all of these people, theoretically, if they had a backbone, could just go, I now own your stuff, Alex.
Mm-hmm.
No. And then Alex would have to try and sue them
yep.
to prove that he owns the fake companies that he says he does not own in order to reattain ownership of the companies he no longer owns.
Yeah, and because he's in this desperate situation where he legally can't own these companies, he's probably signed all kinds of things.
Absolutely.
That allow the use of his name.
100%.
So, yeah, if Chase Geyser wanted to go rogue, I'm sure he
could. We do not need you anymore, Alex. Yeah. I can make an AI Alex, and it will put out a better content than this.
At very least, it'll keep selling about 1,000 things a day.
Good enough.
Yeah.
Good enough to keep it rolling, apparently.
Yeah, and you could program it not to be a whiny little knife.
I mean, seriously, do they not realize that he has given them everything and they can take it?
Yeah.
Like, he can't beat you up. Well, he could try, but
Chase has a bleeding disorder.
He can't afford, poor Chase. He can't afford people to beat you up anymore because you own his shit.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
You know, though, if you fuck around too much, you might run into a door in the middle of the night.
I mean, he's got this set up the way like a cartel has it set up. But the thing that he doesn't have that the cartel does is that if you get out of line, the cartel will murder you and your family and everybody you've ever met. Mm-hmm. Alex can't even bother you if you're out of state.
Hmm. Yeah, I wonder about that. I mean, I do. He has to have some weird friends.
He's got it. He's just something. Yeah. Something. But I don't think he does. I don't think anybody would actually put their neck on the line. I'm sorry, Alex. You want me to kill somebody? Mm. Why? Mm. For you?
Well, I accidentally signed over my name rights to them. And
not accidentally. On purpose, you signed over your name rights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a bad move in hindsight. Now I need them dead. That won't get you the name rights
back.
That's
probably not going to do it because of the words on the paper.
I think that Alex has probably chosen wisely the people that he is put into these positions.
Yeah.
That have the stake.
Yeah.
And you know, here's another one. Alex has another new product.
Great.
A couple years ago, big known manufacturer in Texas that does a lot of private labeling and creates some of the best stuff out there was trying to get a hold of me and want me to be at sponsorship and all the rest of it. I just didn't get around to it. Well, they ended up going and working with some other people I know that are great folks and trying to get a hold of me. And I just said to those people, I said, you go ahead and launch a site. You can use JonesCBD.com. You notice the names are things I say. I named this, you know, Ultra Green. I mean, that's, you know, but it's not my company. And they just said, we'll give it to you for our cost. You know, and the cost of making it and, you know, warehouse and all that kind of stuff. We'll give it to your sponsor. Since you didn't take the deal. And then the sponsor just puts a little bit on there as well. So
Jones CBD is a company, or at least it's a branding name for another company called CGS Partners LLC. This was a company that was founded on January 20th, 2021, and has only one managing member.
How about that?
This is probably a coincidence.
Yeah.
But that's the only person is Rex Jones, Alex's son.
Wild. Yeah. Wild coincidence.
Yeah.
It's nice of him to, like, go out and start a business on his own.
Yeah.
Doesn't need his old man.
Why isn't Alex saying, my son runs this company? Shouldn't he be proud of the kid?
You think?
Yeah.
Put it all together himself in 2021.
Right.
It's been successfully operating for 4 years now, and he's got nothing good to say.
No, I kind of laid dormant, I think.
Funny how that works.
But, like, yeah, this is silly. This presentation that he's trying to make of, like, oh, one of the top private labelers came along and blah, blah, blah. No, your son is doing this to shield resources.
Absurd.
Like, it's crazy. You're getting your son in on this. Like, I know probably, like, enough of his family is involved with and benefiting from the way that he's maneuvering these lawsuits
yeah,
bankruptcy.
Yeah.
But his son's on paper now.
Yep.
That is not great. And I don't know if his son's name was on, like, as the official managing member until fairly recently.
Right.
Like, I think I feel like you've now put your son in a position where he might get sued.
Yeah, or at the very least, you've put your son in the position where, historically, whenever we think about fraud cases very similar to this, there's a weak link in the chain that gives everybody all the information that they need.
I mean, hey, oops.
Yep.
So I looked up all the paperwork with the Secretary of State, but there wasn't really any need for me to do that this company is on his LinkedIn page, page.
Great.
And his name and it's on the website, too. It's on Jones CBD. It has.
Of course.
If you look in the fine print and the privacy policy and that kind of stuff, Rex Jones' name is in there. But why wouldn't it's baffling to me that Alex is trying to pretend all of this is on the up and up and he won't say my son runs this company. That's crazy.
I mean, it would be more likely for me to believe in its legitimacy if he were to admit that is a purely nepotistic arrangement.
100%.
Because that is at least a real arrangement. Whereas in this case, by not mentioning that your son, whose business you blatantly given to him, is successful, you're just revealing it's your own business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that there is a way that Alex could sell this believably, which is like, fuck, man, you know, I never really wanted to get into CBD because I'm the last generation.
But my
son. I'm an old model.
There you go.
But my son, he knew about this. He saw it. He saw the benefits. He looked into it.
Yep.
He started this company and he asked if he could use the last name so people will kind of be tricked into thinking that it's me.
Let's not say tricked, but let's say he'll take advantage of the association that people will make on their own without me having to say anything.
And I gave him my blessing to use the Jones name on this thing. And, you know, I'm proud of him. He's making a name for himself by using my name.
Doing our name to make a name for himself.
I think that there would be a way I could believe that. I wouldn't believe that he wasn't getting a taste.
Yeah.
I could kind of believe that. But as it is, the way he's trying to pass this story off and the fact that Rex owns this company, it's just such bullshit. It's clearly hiding money again. And man, it's brazen.
We're so used to a level of nepotism that is realistically unacceptable if you want things to function properly, that I would be willing to be like, oh yeah, your son, of course you gave him like $10 million to start a company and it's moderately successful. That's how it works.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a nepotism version of this that you'd just be like, whatever.
Yeah.
But then also, like, if this wasn't the, 15th company that's been set up like this people who are related to Alex or work for him or whatever, trying to clearly avoid this bankruptcy.
Yep.
Like, if it wasn't it just keeps happening.
Yeah.
I don't know. I might give it more of a pass, but this is grim.
It's crazy. Like, I literally just read a book a few weeks ago about the Falcone crime, like the Cuban cocaine smuggling operation that went on, and just like the stories of people tracking down the way they've set up their businesses. Like this is the accountant. Like, he's the guy who has all of this stuff going on. And it's so similar to this, but it's done in a way that was very difficult for people to untangle it.
Yes.
And governments were involved. And there was the guy with the hippos was, you know what I'm saying? Pablo Escobar was involved. All of this stuff. It wasn't just some fucking Norm Pattis ass dude signing another doing business as.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of the things that, you know, you talk about with the, you know, the cartels and a lot of the legitimate businesses that they end up being entangled with.
Yeah.
In Mexico and in South American countries. It's because of a competency in terms of that structure.
Yeah.
Whereas Alex is like a Duplo version of it.
Yeah.
It's like a kid's toy version of cartel money laundering shit.
Yeah.
It's It's sad. It's sad to see that you can do that, apparently.
Yeah, it is so much like sometimes whenever you're reading about that, they're like, and also because of the way we hire people, because of the way we do business, we had the most legitimately successful boat racing company in America and then top 10 in the world. Mm. And you're like, oh, because you applied the same skills that got you to be a big cartel. In the same way, Alex is applying the same skills, and they're all laziness based.
Yeah,
you know,
he's applying the let's say skimming memes school of effort,
least amount of work,
putting
I can
that
do.
Into yeah, money laundering.
Absolutely,
and,
absolutely.
It's going great.
It's going great.
So anyway, we come to the end of this, mm-hmm. and what a day! Top story: Elon Musk is cool,
amazing.
Bottom story: not a lot of people are buying products. We'll see how things go. I don't feel like I understand what's going on in Trump's new term very well. Based
is
on,
that what we were doing?
Emergency
broadcast on
he's
a Saturday.
The tip of the spear.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is the most important stuff. I don't really even know what's going on in the world just from watching this.
Yeah, I believe
I can
that.
Tell you that. But maybe we'll learn more next time. Mm. And we will be back then. But until then, we have a website.
Indeed we do. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep. We'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I am the Mysterious Professor.
Woo, yeah, woo, yeah, woo.
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.